talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. It's Thursday. I'm excited. I got a young lady that's going to be on here in the third and fourth segment, last part of the show today. That's the state reporter for the FFA, for the Oklahoma FFA. Oklahoma State FFA. How about that? Anyway, she's not a local. She's the state one. Anyway, Clara Duncan's going to be on here with me for a couple segments talking about what's going on with the chapters and FFA chapters in Oklahoma. And she's freshly back from the national FFA convention. So we got it going on. So it'll be fun. Let's see what the temperatures are like. Way up there in the panhandle of Oklahoma, in the northern part of the Texas panhandle, it's in the 40s, 47 at Goodwell, 51 at Slapout, 55 at Arnett, 51 home of the secret weapon in Cheyenne, 55 at Hollis, 54 in Hobart. Out here in the panhandle, we got basically same thing, 54 at Odell, 55 at Wellington, 55 at Miami, 51 at Paladura Reservoir, and then over there where you get back over there by Dumas and stuff like that, it's in the 40s. So it's coming. It is November. So anyway, let's see what happened overnight. Man, it's crazy. If you've looked at your phone today and looked at the board, see what's happening. There's a lot of craziness going on, a lot of red going on, to be honest with you. Cotton, I think lean hogs and soybean oil are the only thing in the black right now. But wheat futures were lower in overnight trading, while corn and beans were a little changed ahead of today's supply and demand reports from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Few changes are expected in the reports. The report's coming out about right now. U.S. corn production likely will be pegged at 15.7079 billion bushels on a yield of 173.2 bushels to the acre. That compares with October outlook at 15.064 billion bushels, and still 173 bushels per acre, not 173.2 bushels. So anyway, up a little bit. Soybean output will probably be projected at 4.1 billion bushels, with a yield forecast of 49.6 bushels an acre. The USDA last month estimated production at 4.104 billion bushels at 49.6. Nothing unchanged there. Corn and soybean prices are under pressure as the U.S. harvest nears completion. About 81% of the U.S. corn crop was harvested as of Sunday, up from 71% a week earlier, and the prior five-year average of 77%. 91% of soybeans were in the bin at the start of the week versus 85% a week earlier. Still, underpinning prices are concerns about tensions in the Black Sea after a Russian missile hit a vessel sailing into the port of Odessa region of Ukraine. The ship was a Liberian flag vessel, and one person was killed, three was injured. All were citizens of the Philippines, according to the president from Ukraine. Wheat futures for December delivery overnight fell 8 pennies to 584.5 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Kansas City futures lost 5.5 cents to $6.49.5 a bushel. Corn for December delivery was down 2.25 pennies to 473.75 a bushel. Soybeans futures overnight for January delivery fell a penny to 1364.75 a bushel. Soy meal was down $1.50 to $448.30 a short ton, and soy oil lost 0.11 cents to 50.06 cents a pound. What else is going on? Beef and pork exports both fell on both a monthly and annual basis in September, according to the USDA. Shipments of beef to overseas buyers declined to 231.5 million pounds during the month, down from 259.5 in August and 279.3 in September. South Korea led purchases at 47.2 million pounds, followed by Japan and China. All three countries, however, imported less than they did a month, both a month and a year earlier. Pork exports also declined, falling to 512 million pounds in September. That's down from 526.7 million a month earlier and 516.1 million during the same month the previous year. Mexico was by far the largest importer of U.S. pork at 205.4 million pounds, the government said. Japan was a distant second, and Canada was the third largest buyer. Imports from Mexico and Japan both declined month over month. Canadian purchases rose in September from the month earlier. What's going on in the weather in the Ag Belt? Well, let's check it out. A fire weather watch remains in effect for northwest Iowa, northeast Nebraska this morning and this afternoon. Winds will be sustained from 15 to 25 miles an hour with gusts up to 40. The National Weather Service said in a report earlier this month, humidity will fall as low as 30%. Any fires that will develop will likely spread pretty quickly. In central Oklahoma, meanwhile, thunderstorms are possible today, though no severe weather is expected. So, got that going on today. Hopefully, we get some out here. It looks like winter out there today. I like it. I like the looks. Anyway, hey, I got a question for all you guys before we go to break on the for the text line. No phone ins, please. This ain't Tradio. 580-225-9697 is the Today in Ag text line. So I've seen on social media and some emails that I've been getting and stuff. What do you guys think? Yes or no on changing the rules in Oklahoma on whitetail deer? Currently right now, you can shoot 2 bucks for the season. So what's your thoughts on going to a 1 buck limit period, whether it's archery, muzzleloader, rifle? What's your thoughts on it? I'd like to know your thoughts. Anyway, it's just stirring the pot a little bit, I guess. Anyway, this has been talked for years about going to a 1 buck limit, and just want to know your thoughts, yes or no. And if you want to put an explanation, I won't say your name on the radio, but if you want to put an explanation with that, you're more than welcome to do that. Why you think we ought to and why you think we shouldn't. So there we go. Let's go over some commodities on the board that's happening right now. We got December corn is down 8 today at 468. March is 482. Soybeans are down 17 at 1332. January's 1344. It's down 21. Soybean meal's down $2.30 for December at $447.50 a short ton. January is down $3.90 at $435.10. Soybean oil is up about, I don't know, 0.4 cents at 50.35 cents per pound for December. January's 49.77. Hard red winter wheat is down over 6 cents today at December 648 and March is 659. And what is May? 755. Cotton is up a little bit today, a little over a penny, almost 2 pennies to be exact. December is 76.76, up 1.87 cents. March is 79.52, 1.82 also. May is up to 80.43. Let's see what's happening with the oil. December, West Texas, crude oil, 76.16 a barrel, up 83 cents today, up 83 cents also January at 76.14. Natural gas is down a little bit today, like 0.025 of a penny. Down December is $3.08. January is 3.34. And we'll get to cattle here in just a minute when I get back. I got Hobart Stockyard results from yesterday, and I'm just going to let you know right now. Futures, I don't know what the cash price is doing. The futures on live and feeders are getting hammered today, and I'm talking hard. Most of them over four, some $6 down. So anyway, today is the Oklahoma Farm Bureau Happy Hour, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. When we get back, we'll talk a little bit about them.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
You worked and you sweat and you worried for months over your crop. So why are you giving away part of the profit to someone else? Cut out the middleman. Keep your grain on your farm. Keep your money for yourself. A grain bin on your farm will never depreciate as long as you use it, and it'll make you as much money as you want it to make. Store your own grain in your own bin. Wall Bin Hoppers. Take a look at their website, wallequip.com. Wallequip.com. You did all the work. You should keep all the profit.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
You've heard us talking about the 30-year-old ratchet that Napa replaced, no questions asked. A customer had a question about that particular transaction and that particular policy of replacing tools regardless of age. He walked into the Elk City Napa store and asked, "Do you guys really do that?" And the answer was, "We replaced two last week."
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
You know, I think the best advice that I could give a young couple is to go sit down and talk to an insurance agent. I see a lot of young couples, they're just getting online. I mean, they're just clicking the button and clicking what's cheap. And, well, if I click this, it makes it a little cheaper. But if I click that, it makes it go up. Well, there's a reason why it goes up. You need to know what you're paying for. And if you're paying for it, you need to make sure you've got the right coverage. You know, another piece of advice I would give is when you go in and talk to that agent, you need to discuss getting some life insurance. It doesn't have to be me. Any agent can help with that. But a young couple, you need to go in and sit down and talk to someone and understand what you're doing. You know, a term policy on a younger couple, it's a whole lot less expensive than what people think. And the younger you buy it, the cheaper it is. It's worth finding out how minimal that expense is, because it's life-changing if it's needed. That would be my best advice.
Hey, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, here we are. Let's see here. Out here in the Texas Panhandle, let's go with Canadian today. It's been a while. Canadian, Texas, currently you're 57 degrees. Humidity's at 24, dew point's 20. Winds are out of the north, 14 miles an hour. Peak wind gust so far today, 25 miles an hour. No month-to-date precipitation, no red flag minutes, no sub-freezing minutes. 8-inch soil temperature, 58 degrees. Currently here at the Gabe Gadget Mezzanet Center, we got 51.3 degrees. The winds are out of the north at 8 miles an hour, and humidity's at 45. I think I've only got one response. There we go. Yeah, no, we got a couple more. Anyway, I got one response. You ought to have to shoot four does before you get a buck. I almost agree with that 100%, 99.9%, just because of who it was coming from. Anyway, I think we should be about opportunity and not big buck management. And there you go. And then I got a happy Veterans Day to you, Jimmy. Thank you for your service. Hey, thank you. Hey, if you guys, the new Penny News is hot off the press this morning. And if you'll open it up to the center of the new Penny News, it's a salute to the Veterans Day, honoring all those who served. And man, you talk about a sweet looking honor, the ad, everything. The girls, they did a wonderful job with that. And thank you for all those people who sponsored it. I'll just name a few. Southbound Quick Quick Stop, Cud, Beck Trucking, Napa, 3B Pumping Services, SP Plumbing, Sandusky Plumbing, there at Canute, Smith Ag Center, Priority Home Medical Equipment, and then we got Shepherd Home Health and Hospice, Route 66 Meat, Route 66 Meat. Representative Nick Archer's got his face in there. So's Darcy Jack. And who else we got? Oh, there he is. District 57, Mr. Anthony Moore, Tosh Service Center, Sarah Tag Agency. Man, it's just a wonderful ad for a look for that deal. But here's the thing that I like. They got some quotes in there from, like, General George Patton, General MacArthur, Chris Kyle, you remember American Sniper. But here's my favorite, because I served under him in Desert Storm. General Norman Schwarzkopf, it doesn't take a hero to order men into battle. It takes a hero to be one of those men that go into battle. How awesome is that? Anyway, the Penny News is out. Check it out. Also, you see the Atwoods insert in there. And I know you guys are going to go off your rockers when you see this. The buy of the week, those 12-ounce WD-40 aerosol with a smart straw on it are down $2 from $7.99 to $5.99. So get in there, because you know that fixes everything. How about that? All right, let's check out some futures on meats. Live cattle, December, 175.05, February, 174.72, April, 177.47. June 172.72, August 173.32, December at 175.05 is down $4.35, and it just changed. It's down some more. It's down 4.47 now. Feeder cattle for November 230.25, down $4.30. January's 226.45, down $6.32. March is 229.15, down 5.85. April 232.72, down 6, and May is 236.15, down $5.80. Hogs, lean hogs, actually are up. December 72.07, up 57 cents. February 75.62. April is 81.10. May is 86.55. And June 94.10. Okay, let's check out what goes on with. Went on at the Hobart Stockyards yesterday. Looks like they had a really nice run. 2 to 3 weight steers were bringing up to 335. 3 to 4 weights bringing up to 317.50. 4 to 5 weights were bringing 322.50. 5 to 6 weights up to 267.50. 6 to 7 weights up to 248. 7 to 8 weights up to 227 on the heifers. 2 to 3 weights up to 287.50. 3 to 4 weights. One up to, there it is, 285. Sorry, I couldn't read it. 4 to 5 weights were up to 270. 5 to 6 weights up to 237 on the heifers. 6 to 7 weights, 225, and 7 to 8 weights, we're bringing up to $1.95 a pound. All right. Butcher cows were bringing up to 101. Butcher bulls were bringing up to 145. And what do we got here? Bred cows were bringing up to $2,025 per head. So that's what happened there yesterday. All right, let's go to the text line. Let's see. I think a $1 limit with rack size restrictions on top of that. Reasoning is to allow the young bucks to get some size on them before they're harvested. Too many hunters shooting too many young bucks, and I feel like it's keeping us from seeing the larger bucks around. Also, there's way too many does around. I feel bad for some of those guys' wheat fields. And yeah, I went down with the spotlight. Me and the dogs went for a walk last night about 7:30, and then I hit the 30-acre field last night, and I stopped counting at 110. Yeah, I feel sorry for myself on that. That's the prettiest weed I've ever had in that bottom. But anyway, it's there's a lot of opinions out there, just like the gentleman before. I think we should be about opportunity and not big buck management. It's very good. I've seen on social media that people said they should raise the out-of-state non-resident hunting licenses because of it. Why? What are they doing? They're bringing money into the state. So if you raise the non-resident hunting licenses, probably get fewer hunters for sure. And what does it do? What does it gain? I mean, nothing. I mean, yes, there's a lot of people coming in from Texas to hunt in Oklahoma deer for sure. But that's all right. I go to Kansas quail and pheasant hunting, and I've been up there deer hunting before. And I go to Colorado, I go to New Mexico. And New Mexico and Colorado, as far as I'm concerned, about priced themselves out of business. But there's people rich enough that can afford those tags up there, and that's fine. That's their business. But just be careful what you do, because they come in and they stay at hotels and eat out and buy gas at our local places and food and stuff like that. So be careful for what you wish for there. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just giving you my opinion there. And anyway, come on, bring in some more opinions. So the question is, do you think the state of Oklahoma should go to a $1 limit? That's what's been flying around on the internet here lately. And speaking of that, coming up, let me bring this email up real quick. Bear with me just one second here. I got it from the Wildlife Department here. Hang on with me. Yeah, here we go. Got it right here. Every January they have a meeting about rule changes and stuff. So this is each year they have their proposed changes in their Title 800, the administrative rules that govern hunting, fishing, Wildlife Department operations. The public comment period is open from November 1st through December 8th. And there's a lot of things on the agenda this year, and I got a few minutes, so I'll go over them with you. To create an aggregate bag limit for native non-game fish for all types of fishing, prohibit the practice of shoot and release and bow fishing, add opportunity to control hunts for deer, turkey, and waterfowl on portions of state. Some state properties, not all, authorize the Wildlife Conservation Commission to establish up to 10 permits per year for private land only available through a raffle to harvest a velvet antler buck. How cool is that? Add shotgun holes to the list of what qualifies as littering on WMAs. And I'm all about that one. I mean, everywhere you walk out there, you see all kinds of stuff out there. Also allow the use of air-powered arrow rifles as a legal means of taking deer muzzleloader season, closed prairie dog hunting on Cooper, Beaver, River, and Sandy Sanders, WMAs, just a list of them, although they'll go. So anyway, just if you want to get into this and make your comment, it's time. Just go to wildlifedepartment.com public meeting, and hey, if they don't hear from you, they don't know what you're thinking. So if you there you go, got another one in $1, then if you want to harvest another buck, you must check in two does before you're allowed to take another buck. City slickers have no idea how overrun we are with deer and hogs. Yes, I agree with you on that. Both of them, but one's a game animal and one's not. So we got to keep that in mind. The hogs, I hate them with a passion. Right now, I have for the last 2 or 3 years, and they're not getting any better. So anyway, I'm still hating on them. Well, let's go ahead and take an Oklahoma Farm Bureau break. When I come back, Miss Clara Duncan is going to be on here with me. Don't want to miss out on her. She's so sharp. So anyway, here we go. Be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We're open on Saturdays from 9 to noon, full service lobby. We have new accounts there, personal bankers. We have loan guys there. We have tellers. You can do anything you need to do on a Saturday in the lobby. It helps a lot of people who are out of town that need to come do banking business, or people that work Monday through Friday and can't get in with our hours. They can come on a Saturday. That's one of the things that makes us different. I'm Elizabeth Mosley, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
Hey, Today in Ag listeners, this is Jared Clark with South Star JCB. We carry a variety of wheel loaders, excavators, telehandlers, skid steers, and several other types of equipment. Please give me a call at 469-325-7466. That's 469-325-7466. Check us out on the web, SouthStarTXJCB.com. That's SouthStarTXJCB.com. I'd love to sell you one. Thank you and God bless you.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, November 6th. 1,676 head were sold. 8 head of steers at 523 brought 300. 13 at 585 brought 227. 6 at 607 brought 221. 4 at 684 brought 211. 18 at 729 brought 237. 33 at 735 brought 246. 14 at 741 brought 200. 7 head of heifers at 451 brought 255. 3 at 530 brought 235. 10 at 551 brought 235. 13 at 603 brought 219. 8 at 656 brought 229. 17 at 743 brought 227. Butcher cows were 53 to 119. Butcher bulls brought 1 to 136. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sell every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Jim is all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here's your ag weather forecast for today and tomorrow for Alva, Oklahoma. Currently, it's 56 degrees, dew point's 27, humidity's 33. The winds are out of the northeast at 9 miles an hour. No rainfall in the last 24 hours. 10-day rain total, 0.01 inch. That's 10 one-thousandths of an inch.
3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 59 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 0.4. Sunset, 5:31 tonight. Today, cloudy, 57 degrees. Tonight, 33. Get the hoodies out. Tomorrow, high of 60 degrees. Not too bad. Well, on the phone with me right now is Miss Clara Duncan. She is, I hope I get this right, she is the state reporter for the state chapter of the FFA. Did I get that right?
Yes, sir.
Oh, man, finally I did something smart in my life here. Hey, tell everybody who you are.
Well, thank you, first of all, for having me on today.
You're welcome.
You were correct. I am currently serving as the Oklahoma FFA state reporter. I have had the opportunity the last 6 months to serve Oklahoma FFA members all around the state, and last week we were able to travel as a team to National FFA Convention in Indianapolis, Indiana, and do some delegate work, committee work, and just have some fellowship with other FFA members from around the nation.
All right. And where are you originally from?
I'm originally from the town of Chickasha, Oklahoma.
Heck yeah. Anyway, they... And then, so what started your career in FFA as an officer? What were you doing on the local chapter level?
So I started as a freshman in FFA. My uncle is an ag teacher in southeastern Oklahoma, and he really encouraged me to join FFA, enroll in the class, the ag class. And at first I was kind of, you know, skeptical about it. I didn't really know what exactly I was supposed to do, but kind of just jumped in head first. And I became involved over that freshman year, and then when COVID kind of hit, kind of backed off, of course. And then sophomore year became more involved, and then that at the end of that year, I was elected to be the vice president of the chapter. And then the next year, I was selected to be the president of the chapter.
Wow.
And at a local level, it was a really neat thing for me, because at the local level, I was able to kind of lead the younger members and just kind of, you know, talk to them, kind of see where they're at, help them in whatever projects they were working on, encourage them to do what they didn't necessarily want to do, but just to kind of jump in head first and say yes like I did, and to kind of receive the rewards that I had. So the local level was a really cool experience for me, and then getting to continue that at the state level has been just as, if not more, rewarding.
I got you. Well, your roommate that I know very well and I love to death, she's a sweetheart, Miss Jill Matter. Has she helped you or hurt you on your state level deal?
Oh, neither one. I mean, she's helped for sure. Just kind of, you know, encourage me to just keep it going. There are times, you know, it gets hard to remember why you do what you do, you know, on those days where college is killing you, or, you know, you haven't had much sleep. But she's definitely been encouraging in that for me.
I bet she has. Yeah, she encouraged me with my show. She made me a different person on the show. And she said I did the same to her, so it all works out very good. But yeah, I'm sure that is very demanding with you going to college full time, and then you're on the state level is the state reporter. And so what is your tell us some of the functions you do as the reporter for the state FFA.
So this summer our big thing was the alumni leadership camp that we did, and we actually moved it to Binger, Oklahoma this year. And that was one of the best things I've ever done in my life. We spent 2 weeks out there, and we did 6 sessions of camp, and I was able to be a small group leader and a state officer, which is a pretty unique experience. So that was our big thing this summer. And then this fall, we did our chapter officer leadership training in the 5 areas. Every Tuesday for 5 weeks, we went and did some training with officers. We led workshops. And we're able to meet with the chapter officers. I was able to eat lunch with 5 different chapters, which was pretty neat for me. One of those was my uncle's FFA chapter, so that was a pretty cool experience. And then over the course of the last few weeks, besides the National Convention, we have been going to some smaller conferences, leadership conferences. Some of my teammates just went to Kellyville, and then I'll be going to two in the next week. Just some smaller events to kind of interact with the members, lead them, give them some advice, and just kind of be there for them and whatever they're doing. And we actually have attended, I believe we attended two or three chapter Halloween parties, which was pretty fun, pretty interesting, because my chapter had a Halloween party, but every chapter does it differently, so it's cool to kind of get to travel and see those. So just kind of whatever the chapters invite us to, we try to make it to as much as we can, but of course you can't make it to everything, but yeah, so just some little things, some bigger scale things, kind of all over the place for sure.
What's the coolest Halloween costume you've seen at one of the other chapters?
Oh, goodness.
Something's got to stick out. Think about it.
I know. We had a girl at one of them, and it was a fairly common costume. I think she dressed up as a wolf, but she did some very intricate face painting.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that was pretty cool. We talked about that one on the way home for sure. But not one that I can just really think of.
Just the everyday costume thing going on?
Yeah, for sure.
I got you. Anyway, so you went to Chickasha High School. And whereabouts does your uncle teach in southeastern Oklahoma?
He teaches at Indianola, which is just not too far from McAllister, if you know
right.
where that's at.
Yep. Anyway, so have you had to use him for advice? Do you text him and say, "Uncle, I'm in trouble"?
Oh yes. I mean, I call him quite frequently. He helped me tremendously, especially. I mean, he both years that I showed livestock, he went and picked out a sheep for me, and he's been the one helping me with my speeches and all the contests and things like that. So for sure, he's one that I lean on for a lot.
So as a reporter, do you report on all the state, like speech contests, judging contests, do you put out, do you have to, is that your job to report on that? Because, I mean, you know, we didn't have social media when I was in high school. Most people could hardly write in my class. But anyway, we didn't even have electric typewriters, I don't think. But anyway, so is it your job as the state reporter to kind of let everybody know what's going on as far as like state speech and judging contest or anything else going on?
So no, actually, that we have a communications intern, her name is Chandler, and she does a lot of that with the social media and the reporting and the writing. She does a great job at what she does. My job is primarily I run the Instagram account for the state officer team, and I mean, my teammates help me whenever I need them to, but I kind of make sure that's going smoothly, answer messages. I make sure that we're posting frequently, getting a lot of interaction, just because FFA members want to see that. And so my job isn't necessarily to report on the contest and all of that, but more so to report to the members, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. Yeah, because there's I know while you guys were in Indianapolis, you know, I seen a lot what was going on, because we're going to talk about it after this next break, but there was a lot of awards given to Oklahoma chapters and individuals, and it was pretty exciting to look at that, because I'm all about it. And so the FFA, we all are. We're all about it.
Yes.
You're not mad at your uncle for enticing you to get into FFA, I take it?
Oh, no, not at all. I remember very vividly. I want to say it was my 7th or 8th grade year. We were sitting on my grandparents' porch in Indianola. And, you know, he's talking to me and my mom, because my mom wasn't in FFA. I mean, she knew what it was, of course, but she wasn't in it whenever she was in high school. So he was just kind of, you know, telling her about the speech contest. He's like, "Oh, you can do opening and closing ceremonies, and you can do this, and you can do this, and you can do that, and you can blah blah blah." And I just remember I was just sitting there, and it was going in one ear and right out the other. And little did I know that all of those things I would be so passionate about in just a matter of years.
Oh, man, that's awesome. That's a great story. You should write a book.
I've considered it, actually.
No, it would be a great story. I'm not joking with you because, you know, I've never got to meet you. All I got to do, all I've heard about is from Jill. And
right.
she thinks you're the greatest thing since Snicker candy bars. And so, but anyway, she talks about you, and I see you guys on social media and what you're doing with FFAs, and I'm going to say it to your face right here on the radio. You're so bright. You're really, I love talking to you. You can handle yourself very well.
Well, thank you. That means a whole lot.
Yeah. So, hey. Let's take a Oklahoma Farm Bureau break, and when we come back, let's talk about what happened at the national convention, because there was a lot of good things happened up there this year.
There were.
All right. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
At Lone Star Gin, 4.5 miles south of Pampa, Texas on Highway 70, our mission is to provide superior customer service to our producers while getting their cotton ginned in a timely manner. We possess 120-plus bale per hour capacity, high-tech moisture systems, on-site sampling, and we move cotton in a timely manner from the field to the gin. With excellent hands-on marketing, our gin is designed to maximize profits for our farmers. Visit us at www.lonestargin.com or give us a call, 806-665-0677.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
SEI Agritech excited to announce construction is beginning at the SEI Agritech Center in Elk City for their new product line. They'll be blending LNC feed with all the feed rations that you've come to know and trust. This will be the only LNC blending facility in the area. SEI Agritech in Elk City will be opening their new facility in the near future at their current location at 1400 South Randall in Elk City. For more information, you can give Kent a call at 580-225-0317.
In the Star-Spangled Banner, America is extolled as the land of the free and the home of the brave. These two phrases go together, for throughout her history, America's freedom has been preserved by the dedication and sacrifices of America's brave. On November 11th, we salute America's veterans all across the land and right here at home.
State Representative Nick Archer says every military veteran deserves our gratitude. Thanks to all veterans for keeping America safe. Paid for by Nick Archer for HD 55 2024.
I say the future is ours! Can you dig it?
Oh, you sure can. Especially if you rent from DJ's Rentals and Sales in Elk City. Dig up those old sewer lines with a backhoe or mini excavator. Save time and money. Rent a post hole digger to help with your next fencing project. You can dig it today when you rent from DJ's Rentals on South Main in Elk City.
Can you dig it?
To find out more, visit DJsRental.com. That's DJsRental.com.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bats, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325. For all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs. Or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Whether you graze livestock or produce hay from perennial forages, the Night Latch Group helps farmers and ranchers manage production risk by utilizing the federal crop insurance programs. The Pasture Range and Forage Rainfall Insurance Program signups for the 24 calendar year are now till December 1st. PRF provides needed cash flow and pays producers during periods of below average rainfall. Insure your operation against lack of rainfall with no money up front. Hold on to your ag investment with the Night Latch Group, 580-334-7995. Remember, even wet years have dry spells.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here is your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update for Mangum, Oklahoma. Currently it's 55, dew point's 32, humidity's 42, the winds are out of the north-northeast at 13 miles an hour. No rainfall in the last 24 hours, 0.01 inches in the last 10 days, so they had a little foggy day. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature 61. 1 day that's not working, so we won't even do that. Sunset 5:38. 40% chance of rain showers today. 30% tonight. 55 for a high. 36 for a low. Tomorrow, nice, sunny, 61 degrees. Well, on the phone with me right now is Miss Clara Duncan. Hey, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you again for having me.
I will. She is the Oklahoma State FFA reporter, chapter FFA, the state chapter reporter. However, I get them all. There's so many things I'm thinking today. I'm going in circles. But anyway, so we know who Clara is now. And by the way, before I forget, or while I remember, so my wife doesn't jump me for saying the word forget. Hey, tell Uncle thank you for convincing you to get in.
I will.
All right. I'll do that. All right, cool. All right. So last week was the biggest meeting of them all, the National FFA Convention in Indianapolis, Indiana. And there was a lot of people from out west went to that. I don't know about throughout the state. I'm sure it was, but I know a lot of chapters out here went. Any exciting news happened while you were there?
Well, we did a very good job as a state this year. We cleaned up pretty nice with the awards. Stillwater FFA received a lot of awards on the national level, and we had some FFA chorus members and I believe one or two band members. So we were pretty involved at the national level this year and did pretty well. We got some committee work as a officer team and were able to kind of see some insides, and we watched Miss Karsten Cantrell give her retiring address and serve as a national officer for the last week. And so it was a pretty good week, I'd say.
Yeah, so I think, I can't remember, help me out, was it Skytook that got the, that won the judging contest or something up there, is that right?
It was Guthrie.
Yeah, Guthrie. Guthrie was it.
Yes, they won that as well. And that's the second year in a row Oklahoma has won.
All right. That's good. And then yes. I think we had a couple of people come in the top five or at least top 10 on the Creed deal, if I remember seeing that.
We did. Corbin Robbins from Chattanooga got third place in the Creed, yes.
Right. So anyway, so that was pretty exciting. Now, the National Farmer degree was given out to a few people from Oklahoma. And if I remember right, what, 16, 17 of them?
I believe that is correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, the most important one is Miss Blaine, Oklahoma Secretary of Agriculture.
Jimmy, you're cutting out a little bit.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, yes.
Okay. Let me see. I don't know what's going on. I hadn't touched nothing. That's very unusual for me. Anyway.
It's all right.
Oklahoma State Secretary of Agriculture, Blaine Arthur, she got National Farm.
You're cutting out again.
Oh, let me see what's going on here. Hang on here. I haven't touched anything. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
All right. Well, let's try this again. Oklahoma, second on. Do this.
Yeah, at all.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm working on it. Hang on here a second.
All right.
Can you hear me there?
I can hear you. It's funny. Every time you start talking about Secretary Arthur.
Oh, well, maybe I'll quit mentioning her name. Did she get her degree?
She sure did, yes. We were able to eat dinner with her as well at National Convention. That was a really neat thing.
All right. So I've met her one time, and she is a wonderful person to be representing
she sure
us.
Is.
Yeah. And then and also there was a gentleman, kid out here, Blake Miller. He got his degree from out here at Elk City. I seen.
Yes.
So
he sure did.
So anyway, so what does it take to get your National Farmer's degree?
So the Honorary American FFA degree is, I'm honestly not 100% sure how, but I believe you are nominated by your state to get it, similar to the Honorary State FFA degree. There's an application that goes in. The whole process, super familiar with, but because of, especially with Secretary Arthur and, of course, all the other ones, everyone who receives it is someone who has gone above and beyond the call of duty in the agriculture and in regards to FFA members. And so those that received it fully, I 100% deserved it and 100% everything you need to, FFA members and for the agriculture industry as a whole.
Cool. Very good response there. So are you going to, I don't know how it works when you go to the national level, because I was only on the local level. Going to run for an officer on the level ever, or is that out the door?
So, asking about running.
Yeah, you.
Hello.
Yeah, there, I got you.
Oh, there you are. Are you asking about running for a national office? Is that what you're asking?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so every state can send a candidate to run for national office. This year, Oklahoma sent one that was a Braden Heisler, who was a state officer a couple years ago. I don't believe you have to be a state officer, but they send a candidate every year, and they go up and they go through an interview process, a lot of interview processes, and at the beginning of the week, right before convention, they narrow it down another time or for the finalists that make it through. Oklahoma, four candidates that went through this year, and one of them, one of the national FFA president attending Oklahoma City, goes through the interview process of facilitating workshops. They go through round robin type interviews. They kind of have the ability to just show who they are, and the nomination, the nominating committee is group of for sure.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
I got you. We're about out of time, and thank you so much for coming on today. And if you wanted to tell people listening out there right now about getting their kids in FFA, what would you tell them?
I would just even if you have no idea what that entails, and know that it's with better people skills, or even just, I would just say, like, a lot, if you want it to take just a bunch of money, it just takes some time. And I would just my biggest
coming on today, Clara, and good luck with college, FFA, and sir out here. All right.
I sure will. Thank you so much.
All right. See you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, what a bright young lady. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Sayre, Elk City. God bless.